Jean?
Well, I suppose we've already had one welcome, now we have another one. Welcome to the worship service of the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. So glad you're here, and I hope that we can all participate in the worship service and leave here a better person. We have some visitors with us. I'd like to give a warm welcome to the visitors. Invite you back at every opportunity. I'm going to read three verses to begin our worship service. And these three verses have been called the scariest verses in the Bible. And you read them and you judge what you think. It's in Matthew chapter 7 of Matthew. Beginning with verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter the kingdom in heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You might want to take those verses home and look at them. Chapter 7, Matthew. And then we'll begin with a song service.
Would you stand, please, as we sing 227?
I heard the song and strove to.
be seated, please. Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing 232, Worthy You Are Worthy.
Worthy You Are Worthy.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you. We give you thanks for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. Give us the ability to come here and worship you without fear of any type of persecution. Heavenly Father, we know we have brothers and sisters in Christ across the world that do not have this luxury, that they face persecution, possibly severe persecution, just for wearing the name Christian. Pray that you'll strengthen them in their faith, that they'll always be able to stand boldly for you. Heavenly Father, if we ever find ourselves in that position here, that we will remain faithful and you'll strengthen our faith and we'll be proud to be called your children. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for Brother Tim. As he brings a lesson today, pray that you'll be with him and that you'll guide him as he rightly divides the word. We give you thanks for the many years of service that you've given him and pray that there'll be many more. Heavenly Father, as a congregation, pray that you'll give us the wisdom and understanding to apply the word to our lives and that we'll be able to rightly live in front of you. And Heavenly Father, we give you thanks most of all for your Son Jesus, that it's through him that though in this life we may have trials, whether they be physical, financial, where we lose loved ones, but Heavenly Father, through your Son, we can have hope that one day we can live in heaven with you and we won't have these trials and there'll be no tears. It's your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing 251. 251, The Lord Thy God.
The Lord Thy God. Thank you.
Right now is the time, if you have young children, we have a children's training class, and right now would be a time to go to that. Today's reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 16. And that's Luke 17, verses 11 through 16. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened that he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was that they went, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan.
What a blessing to be called out by God. Called out, of course, is one way to translate the word for church, ecclesia. And it means we've been called out of the world, out of darkness, to come into the kingdom of God's light. It also means that there are times when we're called together to come out as a congregation and assemble as we're doing right now. And what a blessing that is to be able to come together like this, to hear the wonderful singing that is coming from hearts that love the Lord, to be encouraged by one another's smiles and handshakes and hugs. What a blessing. And in this cold world, this is a place of warmth. We're so thankful to God for the blessing he gives us in the church, as well as all of the other blessings. And we're so thankful for you that are with us today. We've got a good number. And we appreciate that. We have many visitors, and we're so glad that you have come our way. And I hope you'll let us get to know you before you get away. If we can help in any way, please let us know, and we'll do all we can to give assistance. I personally will be dashing off to go to the prison shortly after we dismiss, but I urge all of our members to look around and see others that you may not know and welcome them. Let them know that they are welcome here, and we are hoping they'll come back and join us again. We also have some ladies that will be going down to the jail later this afternoon, and we're just so thankful for their dedication and the service that they give, as well as the men who go with me and others up to the prison. We're servants of God. Let's find our place of service and do all that we can to glorify his name. But we're glad you're here. And children, I want to say to you, and many of them are gone now, I realize how wonderful it is to see this every year. We've not seen it the last couple of years, but it's so good to see this back. And really appreciate all of you parents who take the time to make this a teaching opportunity for your children. To take them with you, to buy the supplies, to pack them in the bags together, and then for them to bring them up. What a wonderful lesson that is for the children, for the parents, for all of us. And pray that this Tuesday, when the bags are distributed, that those who will receive them will feel the love of God and will be blessed for this Thanksgiving holiday that is coming up. We're just so thankful for the opportunity to do that. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. Probably will not be meeting outside since it'll be in the 30s and it will be dark. We miss those days, but we'll meet in the warmth of this building, and I hope you'll come and join us for that. Our series will continue on vanishing virtues. And tonight we're going to talk about personal presence, and for that we need your personal presence. And so we hope you'll come out and join us at 6 o'clock as we gather again to worship God. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God. I hope you'll follow the passages that I'll be reading and make sure that what I'm telling you is really the Word of God. And if it is, then respect it as the word of God. Let's find out what God has said again this morning. There is a genre of historical fiction called alternate history. Alternate history. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It's not history, it's in fact historical fiction, but in it, authors will say, what if? What if something had been a little different on this occasion? What if things had worked out a little differently then? And then they play it out in their writings. And some of it is pretty fascinating. We never know if that's actually what would happen. I found a list on a website called mentalfloss.com, and it ranked some of the greatest examples of this. And let me just quickly read three or four of those. What if Hitler had succeeded in his invasion of Russia? That would have been a very different world that we would be living in right now. Or what if President Kennedy had survived the assassination attempt? What would have happened in the years that followed? And that's what their writing is all about. What if the Protestant Reformation had never happened? Again, what kind of world would this be today? Or what if Napoleon had kept pressing on? Well, some of it gets pretty fantastic in their imagination, but it's interesting reading to think, what if? Do you know that in the Bible, there is some alternate history mentioned? Now, in that case, they're looking at what actually happened, but then they ask the question, what if? What if God had not been there for me? What difference would that have made in my life? And I find that a very worthwhile pursuit. And as we come into this time of giving thanks, maybe this is a good way for us to really realize how blessed we are. Had the Lord not been with us, what if? So let's think about that idea for a few minutes this morning. First of all, we're going to talk about voices of some from the past. Voices from the past in the Bible. Now, I feel justified in doing this because the Hebrew writer did this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, for example. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And of course, Hebrews 11 is that chapter where you have all of the great examples of people of faith. And listen to what he says about Cain. Cain and Abel, you remember the brothers there. Actually, he's talking about Abel. But he says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now, how is that possible? Though he died, he still speaks. Well, I think the idea is very obvious because that's what the writer is doing. His example continues to speak to us who are reading it. And therefore, for us today, I think it's good for us to look at some examples from the past and say, look at what they said about the presence of God and what might that lead us to do as well. I see, for example, these examples of alternate history. Let me give you three of those. For example, Psalm 94. Psalm 94, we're going to read from verses 16 and 17. Now, this psalm is not attributed to anyone. It could have been David that wrote it. It might have been the sons of Korah. It might have been Asaph. We don't know. But it was guided by the Holy Spirit, we have no doubt. But Psalm 94, look at what he says in verses 16 and 17. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. Now, the land of silence, I think there, certainly refers to Sheol, the place of the dead. And he's saying, if the Lord had not been there for me, that's where I would have ended up. But the point is, God was there for me. God delivered me through that very frightening ordeal, and here I am to tell you about it. And so there's an example of that alternate history that we're talking about. Well, look at another example in the Psalms. This is Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and this one is attributed to David. So we feel safe in saying that David wrote these words. But Psalm 124, look at verses 1 through 5, and again notice what he says. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Now he's calling upon all of Israel to make this acknowledgement. The Lord was on our side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. In other words, we would not have survived. Because it was that serious, it was that dangerous, and yet the Lord was with us. And again, you see the alternate history. God might not have been with us, but he was. And think about what would have happened if he had not been. And then one other example we'll give is found in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9. And in the beginning of this account of Isaiah's prophecy, listen to what he says about the danger that is ahead for Judah and yet the hope. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, if the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Now we know that Sodom and Gomorrah were completely devastated. They were wiped off the map. And he's saying that would have happened to us had the Lord not given us a few survivors. Now, he's looking ahead to the Babylonian invasion. The Babylonians would come in and conquer Judah. They would destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And normally that would be the end of a nation, but not God's nation. And he's saying if the Lord had not left us a few survivors, then we would have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah. We would have been gone. And so in each of these cases, the writers are saying, look what God has done for us. And you can tell in the background, there is this note of rejoicing and thanksgiving. Thank God he was with us. And I think there are plenty of other examples we could look at in the Bible where people would say something like that. And let me just quickly give you three or four of those. Go to Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And you talk about a very threatening situation. This is one of the greatest threats of all. God has decided to destroy the earth. Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. He talked about how wicked the world had become, where the thoughts of every heart was just evil continually. And then it says, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. So it looks like the end of the world is coming sooner than we thought. But look at verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now you might be tempted to say, well, Noah's the one we ought to be thanking. And in a sense, that might be. But let's thank God for being one who sees every life, who notices that in this world that is predominantly evil, there's still a man who loves me, who honors me, who obeys me. There is still that one family I'm going to build a new world with. And so thank God that God was there looking and saw the life of Noah. Had it not been for the Lord, the world would have come to an end much sooner and we would not be here to talk about it. Go to Joshua chapter 24 verse 2. Joshua 24 verse 2. This is an idea that I think we rarely think about. And yet look at this man, Abraham. Abraham, oh, that's the father of faith, we would say. And he has earned that title, I think. But listen to what Joshua said to the people of Israel in Joshua 24 and verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Did you know that? Did you know that Abraham was raised in a land of idolatry? And that he and his family were idol worshipers? That's what I here we find Jonah. Who am I trying to say? Well, you know who it is. Anyway, he says, God called them out of that. And they would have lived forever for the rest of their lives had it not been for God. And so again, this legacy that we have with Abraham, the great forerunner of faith, that wouldn't have happened if God had not called Abraham to leave his country, leave his family, and go to a place that I will show you, because in this man was something that God saw that would develop into faith. Strong, amazing faith. Another example we find is 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And here we find Hannah. Hannah, a woman who has been mistaken by the priest Eli for a drunk. And the priest reprimanded her, "You shouldn't be drinking this time of the day." And yet she wasn't drinking. She was praying. And now when we read this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, this is about a year later, and she's giving praise to God for answering that prayer. Here's what she says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. "For this child I prayed," she now has a son, Samuel. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord." And what a blessing Samuel was to the people of Israel. And it's because of this woman who was barren, who prayed fervently, "Lord, give me a child," and God heard her prayer. And had it not been for the Lord, Hannah would have died barren. There would have been no prophet Samuel, and Israel would have been much poorer because of that. Let's go to the New Testament for a couple of other examples. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 51 and 52. And this is a man we might normally not pay much attention to. I mean, we see people by the side of the road often begging, asking for help. And here in America, it's easy for us to ignore them. And yet, in that day, Jesus did not ignore this man. Here we find in Mark chapter 10, verses 51 and 52, the account of Bartimaeus. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Can you imagine what it's like to be without sight? And I think most of us would have to imagine that. Most of us have enjoyed vision all of our lives. And it's only when we lose it that we really appreciate it. But here, this man cried out for Jesus, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus did. And do you think that Bartimaeus would ever praise Jesus among other people? I think he did regularly. I think he would have said, "Had it not been for the Lord, I would have lived out my days in darkness. I would never have been able to enjoy the light of day. But the Lord was there for me, and I'll never forget it." And then one other example, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Again, we're looking at a woman that has become very famous in people of the Bible. And this is the first person to see Jesus risen from the dead. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 9. "Now, when he rose early," talking about Jesus, "when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons." If you were in the class in the auditorium this morning, you heard Everson talking about demon possession and how miserable that could make a person. We don't know many details about how it affected Mary Magdalene, but we do know she had seven demons. And her life must have been tormented. And yet Jesus came along and cast out those demons, and then she became such a person of faith, she was granted the blessing of being the first to see the risen Lord. And again, don't you think she would have been saying, had it not been for the Lord, I would have lived out the rest of my days on earth in torment because of those demons that were in me. There are many, many other examples in the Bible of people that we could bring forward and say, did the Lord change your life? And they would all say, yes. Had the Lord not been there for me, look at what my life would have been. What a blessing when God comes into our lives. Now let's look at ourselves. And as we approach this time we call Thanksgiving, a time that ought to actually be every day, will the living also join in giving thanks to the Lord? That's a question raised in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. And here's what we find in that passage. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Now, what are we supposed to say? Because you and I have also been redeemed by the Lord. If you're a Christian, you've been redeemed by the Lord. Even if you're not a Christian, you've been delivered from one problem or another. What are we supposed to say? That the Lord has redeemed us. The Lord has been there for us. Don't be silent. Tell it. And that's what the psalmist is saying there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love goes on forever. Thank God for that. And what we're seeing there is the hint that will become much more than a hint in the New Testament, and that is that we are to be forever grateful. We are to always nurture thankful hearts. Let's go back to the passage that Roger read for us earlier in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're very familiar with this. I think it's one of those stories we hear as very young children. 10 men that were afflicted with leprosy call upon Jesus. They say, Lord, have mercy on us. And he does. And he tells them to go to the priest and show themselves. And that was in accordance with the law of Moses. If you had had leprosy and then were healed, you had to go to the priest and show him and offer the sacrifices. And so they were going to do that. And on the way, they looked at themselves and said, wait a minute. What happened to the leprosy that we had all over our bodies? It's gone. And 9 of them kept going, but one not so. Let's look again at Luke 17, verses 15 and 16. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Luke makes special note of that to say, even those that the Jews thought were unworthy of anything, even they will recognize the Lord's blessings. And so this one turns back and he's there at Jesus' feet praising him. One out of the 10. And Jesus now notes that. Look at what Jesus goes on to say in verse 17. Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And again, you see, the idea is Jesus was looking for that. This is just natural, it should be, that we are thankful for what the Lord has done for us and that we will use every opportunity to say, thank you, Lord. You took away my leprosy. You delivered me from that very difficult financial stress I was in. You healed me of that illness I had. You brought me through a very difficult time in my life in one way or another. And I'm going to turn back and give thanks to the Lord. Matthew Henry wrote this about this incident. Only one of those who were healed returned to give thanks. It becomes us, like him, to be very humble in thanksgivings as well as in prayers. Christ noticed the one who thus distinguished himself. He was a Samaritan. The others only got the outward cure. He alone got the spiritual blessing. And so is there something we ought to be thanking God for? Then when we do thank God for him, we additionally get spiritual blessings because it deepens our souls, it stretches our souls, because we are acknowledging we depend on the Lord. And then you have passages like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Think about this. In fact, you may want to mark this and the following verse as we continue through the week. He says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I'd read the previous verse, you would have said, oh, I'm familiar with that. Talking about us, you know, speaking together in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We did that earlier. We're going to do it again. Do we follow this command in verse 20? And again, what is it? Giving thanks always and for everything. Thanksgiving needs to be a continual thing in our lives. And those who live with a heart of gratitude will show the difference. You've also got this statement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, wait a minute. That would include trying times, wouldn't it? How can I give thanks in trying times? It's like we keep telling ourselves, I am blessed. Anytime you ask me that question, I can legitimately say, I am blessed. Have I looked for that blessing? Have I noticed it in my life? And that's how I can do this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving is not just for people that live in a land of abundance. It's for all people everywhere, because God blesses all of us. Robert Louis Stevenson said, keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. I think he's right. I think that's exactly the case. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 25, you'll find an account of David when he's on the run from Saul, who's trying to kill him. And he's got a lot of men that are traveling with him, about 400, if I remember correctly. And these men have to be fed. So here is an opportunity, maybe, to get some carry-out, we would say. Nabal is having a sheep shearing. And that's a big deal back in that time. And it was almost like Thanksgiving. It's a time to celebrate the bounty of the harvest. In this case, the harvest of the wool from the sheep. And so David sends his men and says, how about sharing some of that with us? And Nabal just sends them away, you know, just very rudely insulting David. Says, I'm not going to share any of my stuff. Well, the servants of Nabal send word to Abigail, the wife of Nabal, and says, we're in trouble. And I want you to listen to these words of the servants in 1 Samuel 25, verses 15 and 16. Yet the men, they're talking about the men of David. David and all of his men. The men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. We did not miss anything when we were in the fields. As long as we went with them, they were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. And notice especially that phrase, they were a wall to us. What does that mean? It means they protected us. They stood between us and the wolves that were out in the wild and the thieves that were out there waiting to catch some sheep. They were there to protect us all the time that they were there. And this is how your husband treats these men. And that's why they go on to call this man a worthless man. That's how the servants of Nabal saw him. Worthless. Now I ask you, has God been a wall to us? Has God protected us from dangers both seen and unseen? Has God provided for us in any way? And if you're honest, you're going to say, well, of course. God has always been there. I may not have realized it at times, but God has always been there. Can we not give him thanks in every circumstance like he asks? Always, for everything, like he commands? And so on Thursday, yeah, let's give thanks. But let's not limit it to one day. That's our life, a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. The best way you can thank God is by following his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? Have you obeyed the Son? When he commands you to come and believe in him, do you believe that he is God's Son? And do you believe it enough that you're willing to turn away from anything he tells you is a sin? We call that repentance. Have you confessed him before others? Have you obeyed the very simple command to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? That's the best way you can say thank you to God, is by obeying his Son. And then continue to obey the Son. And that means all of us as Christians need to look at our lives very honestly and ask, am I doing that? Am I still walking in the light? Or do I need to repent of sin and turn back to the Lord, praying for forgiveness? Make up your mind. Do you want to thank God in the way he has shown you? Then use this opportunity, if that's your need, as we stand together and sing.
Oh, are you weary?
Be seated, please.
We've had two request our prayers today. Seth says that he has always had a struggle with mathematics, and it's caused him a lot of anxiety and stress in the past. I can identify with that. But thankfully, he says he's doing better with it, but just wants to be able to not let that come upon him again, and to be able to deal with stressful things better without being so anxious. And that's certainly a good thing to be praying about. And then Joanna says she's having difficulty right now. November has been a tough month. Both of her grandfathers passed away in November, and then her grandmother's birthday was in November. And it just brings back a lot of memories, and those are good memories, but it also reminds her that they're not with her now. And she asked us that we would pray with her for comfort and peace, and certainly we're going to do that. We also want to offer a special prayer for Tim Rubel. Tim is a cousin of Donnie Necessary. He's in ICU at Bristol Regional Hospital. Had open heart surgery last week and is not doing well. The fluid is still accumulating around the heart, putting great stress on his body, and we want to pray for God's help with that. So would you bow with me and let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we praise you. You are wonderful, Lord, so great and awesome. And we praise you most of all for your love and mercy and grace. You invite us to come to you with these requests. And Lord, thank you for that. We always find peace at your throne. And Father, right now we want to pray on behalf of Seth and thank you that he is doing better with these anxieties, but pray that they will not overtake him again, that he will remember what he has learned and not be in such a difficult spot in the future. And we pray for Joanna as she deals with the losses she's had. Help her to think more about the wonderful blessing that she had with her grandparents. And Father, we pray that you'll help her to be given comfort and peace. And thank you, Lord, for her tender and wonderful heart. And Father, we want to pray on behalf of Tim Rubel, a man who is a shepherd of one of your flocks. And Father, we pray that you will step in, if it be not against your will, Father, and that things could be turned around, that his body will recover, and that he might very soon be feeling much better. But Lord, it's a serious situation, and we pray that you'll bless this man, bless the church, bless the family, but especially bless Tim Rubel. And Lord, we pray you'll bless each one of us. We need you, Lord, every day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 454, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, fly for me. Thank you.
As we prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, and as we move into a week of Thanksgiving, I can think of no greater thing to be thankful for than the sacrifice made for us as Christians. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you so much for the day you've given us, all the material blessings we have. There are so many things that we can be thankful for. Dear God, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to give us a way and to give us hope. Pray that you'll be with us as we partake of this bread, which represents the broken body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might partake of it in a way and manner that's well-pleasing in your sight. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you again pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come back to you again in thanks. And thanks for the sacrifice. And thanks for the blood that your Son shed on the cross for us. Pray, dear God, that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, that we'll do so again in a way which is well-pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray again with me as we give thanks for all we have and as we look to give back? Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again, and we can't thank you enough for all that we have in our lives. We know that we're tremendously blessed as a people. We know that we have many, many, many material blessings that others just don't have. And pray, dear God, that as we think about giving back, we'll do so, and we'll do it with a cheerful heart. And that all the monies that we gather will be put to good use in furthering your kingdom and in glorifying you. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray again, please. Father God, we thank you so much for this great opportunity that we've had to gather in this building and worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that the lessons taught today will be sink into our souls and help us get through this life and make us better people. Father, thank you again for all your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the building. Please sign up to teach a class during the winter quarter. See Adam Maurer if any questions. Adam's doing a great work back there with the young people, and he deserves our support. So if you can possibly teach a class, see him.
There will be no Bible class this Wednesday evening, but an all-church devotional will be held in the new auditorium. If you are in town, please come join us. We will be joined by our Hispanic brothers and sisters who are worshiping in our building. Sharing Thanksgiving bags will be distributed here at the building this Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. If you would like to help, please be in the building by 3:30. Thanks to all who helped fill these bags. Matthew 25 bags are ready for you to pick up and give to the homeless or others who are in need. We ask that you only take one bag per family. Three men have been postponed to become deacons. Three men have become proposed to become deacons: Scott Chisholm, Andrew McCormick, Brandon Quistenberry. If you have any comments or any remarks about all of these men, please, pro or con, please share them with the elders this week. Remember these in prayer. Marie Dye has been moved to Life Care Center in Gray after being hospitalized with severe RSV. Cynthia C., mother of Alan J., has been placed under hospice care. Tim R., cousin of Donnie N., and an elder in the East Bristol Church of Christ, remains in ICU at Bristol Regional Medical Center as he recovers from surgery to put in four heart bypasses. At last report, he was not doing well. Mary Lou C. is at Franklin Woods Hospital after lab work on Friday revealed dangerously low platelet levels.